Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I made a coffee, sat down, had my coffee, texted my friend, sat back on the chair, and then I realized that my left hand kind of didn't belong. So I looked down and I saw my left hand was in a fist. And I thought, oh, I must have leaned on the table. Let's go and put some water on it. I took my hand out of the sink, dried it up, and went to see my husband. It was during that really hot time last year. He was having a nap on the sofa as he didn't sleep the night before. So I come into the sitting room and say, right, listen, Fearon, there's something wrong with my hand. Can't open it up. It just doesn't feel like it belongs. So he sits up and goes, what do you mean? Let me see. And just then it kind of hit me and went, I'm having a stroke. It felt like I wasn't there, even though I was. So I was kind of looking at myself in some sort of a bubble. It was very peaceful, to be honest. It was quite a strange experience. But yeah, so I wasn't scared or anything like that. It was just like, yeah, okay, I'm having a stroke. This is what's happening. My husband already called 999. It was apparently on day three when I was kind of quite with myself, back to my normal, like my husband says. I turned around to him and said, right, listen, Steve, I don't have time for this. And that was kind of my time when I thought, no, I'm not staying here for all this time that they're saying. And I remember it was about 3 weeks later. So this is in August still. And my friend and neighbor comes to see me. And, you know, and I said to her, listen, I'm going to be back by Halloween.
Hello, I'm Mark Goodyear. Welcome to Stroke Stories, the podcast that seeks out and hears from stroke survivors. Today, we'll hear from Ásrún Kolrúnadóttir, or Ash, originally from Iceland, now living in South London. She suffered her stroke at the age of 41.
Before my stroke, I was working as a preschool teacher, enjoyed going out with my friends, running around in the park with the kids, just doing everything everyone does, normal basis. I didn't have many hobbies as such, but I did enjoy taking the dog out for a walk and, yeah, generally going out for long walks. It was a Saturday. I had woken up fairly early, obviously having fairly young kids. It was a normal day. I was quite tired, though. Nothing out of the ordinary. It was around 12 o'clock. I just made the kids some lunch. I was texting a friend who was inviting my kids to a birthday party the following day. I made a coffee, sat down, had my coffee, texted my friend, sat back on the chair, and then I realized that my left hand kind of didn't belong. So I looked down and I saw my left hand was in a fist. And I thought, oh, I must have leaned on the table. Let's go and put some water on it. Because obviously in the past, when you get like strange hands, you might have been leaning on it, the nerves. Put water on it by the sink and it felt alien. Almost like it was painful. So I took my hand out of the sink, dried it up, and went to see my husband. it was during that really hot time last year. He was having a nap on the sofa as he didn't sleep the night before. So I come into the sitting room and say, right, listen, Stephen, there's something wrong with my hand. Can't open it up. It just doesn't feel like it belongs. So he sits up and goes, what do you mean? Let me see. And just then it kind of hit me and went, I'm having a stroke. I think I'm having a stroke, Steve. And he looks at me going, what do you mean you're having a stroke? You're 40. Come on. And just at that moment, my whole left side went paralyzed. So I kind of, the heaviness of it took me down on the floor. So I was kind of wedged between the sofa and the coffee table. But it was weird because I knew what was happening. I was really calm. It felt like I wasn't there, even though I was. So I was kind of looking at myself in some sort of a bubble. It was very peaceful, to be honest. It was quite a strange experience. But yeah, so I wasn't scared or anything like that. It was just like, yeah, okay, I'm having a stroke. This is what's happening. My husband already called 999. I remember thinking when he was on the loudspeaker to the operator and she was saying, oh, get her to repeat these words, like the bird gets the worm and something like that. And I thought, right, we can't be doing this because I can't say it. Get me an ambulance. That's just what I was thinking. But the ambulance crew came very quickly. They were there within 20 minutes, I think, and took me down to St. George's Hospital in Tooting, where they obviously confirmed that I had a stroke and said, oh, you'll be with us for the next few months. I said to my family, it would probably be a minimum of 4 months, if not six, because obviously it was a huge stroke. And yeah, here I am.
Ash exceeded her doctor's expectations in her recovery.
It was apparently on day three when I was quite with myself, back to my normal, like my husband says. I turned around to him and said, right, listen, Steve, I don't have time for this. And that was kind of my time when I thought, no, I'm not staying here for all this time that they're saying. And I remember it was about 3 weeks later. So this is in August still. And my friend and neighbour comes to see me and, you know, and I said to her, listen, I'm going to be back by Halloween. That's my goal. And she just laughed, said, yes, of course, Ash, of course you are. You know, just trying to keep me, you know, motivated and all that. But then again, I beat that goal and I was back home within 6 weeks of my stroke. I started very early on talking to my leg. Obviously, my leg was paralyzed. And I spoke to that leg because I knew the first thing I would have to do was to get back on my feet. And for hours, I laid there talking, saying, move, move, come on, we can do this, move. Thinking it over and over again. And then suddenly that toe wiggled. And then my ankle moved a little bit, then my knee. And then, but constantly talking to my body part and trying as much as I could, I was able to move my leg. Then I did try with my arm as well, with not as much progress. But with my leg, when I was finally put in a wheelchair, for example, I was constantly doing some lifts with my foot, trying to lift the leg up from the knee, etc., until they were ready to try to walk with a stick and obviously assistance, which I then did. Obviously, it's really hard to learn how to walk again. It's actually quite complex. And I don't think, obviously, no one realizes how hard it is to learn how to walk. All the things that you need to think of, like lifting your leg, putting it down, using your stick, then the other foot, and then lift that one stick, the other foot. You'd constantly be thinking about what you're doing. But eventually I got there, even though still today, especially when I'm tired, I do need to pay attention because otherwise I will just have a little tumble if I don't tell myself to lift up that leg.
After 6 weeks, Ash returned home.
I was looking forward to going home. Obviously, I had been in hospital. I was probably one of the youngest ones there. I actually don't remember seeing anyone my age at the hospital. Obviously, I'd seen a lot of people passing away in the stroke ward, and it was kind of like demoralizing being there, seeing so many people passing. So coming home to my kids and my husband was something that I really wanted. I wanted the comfort of my home. I wanted proper food and just kind of not relying on other people such as the nurses, etc. Because, I mean, to be honest, these people are very, very busy and shortage. So, you know, you can't always have a shower if you want to have a shower. So it was exciting in a sense, even though it's complicated. I don't feel excitement because my emotions were wiped out. It was something that I was looking forward to, coming home. It wasn't easy. It was really strange because not only did I feel different, everything looked kind of different, even though it wasn't. I wasn't able to do everything that I used to do before. And, you know, I wanted to go up the stairs to my room, but I had to wait for my husband to walk behind me. And the same if I wanted to go downstairs, I needed him to come with me so I wouldn't fall. So those things were quite tricky. In the beginning, and still to this day, I suffered from something that's called the flat effect. It's literally you do not feel emotions like happy, sad, excitement, love, hate, all these strong emotions that everyone has. I didn't have those because my stroke actually damaged those channels. So it's been learning, again, teaching myself emotions. I haven't got far yet. I feel now what I think is sadness. I think I can relate to that. Anger, but happy, love, empathy, for example, those things are still something that I'm trying to teach myself, and they are quite tricky to learn.
Coming up, Ash talks about the impact her stroke had on her emotions.
There is improvement every day. I don't feel as flat as before. Before, I felt like I was just being, and it was really, really weird. Obviously, emotionally, I struggle to answer that question because I honestly don't know. But I am positive, and I know I will recover, and I have accepted it will take years. But may that be 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, but it's just what it needs to be. It's a long journey.
And her recovery goals.
I obviously aim to get my hand and arm as functional as possible. I understand that it's never going to be 100%, but if I can get 80% back, then I'll be happy. So that's kind of my long-term goal, because this is not going to happen overnight. I would also like my train of thoughts to be faster and being able to think. Like sometimes I feel like I'm actually stupid, because some days my brain is just not working with me and I feel really slow.
Let's hear Ash talking about her future plans.
I'm hoping at some point to go back to work. I had in my head that I would return to work this year, but I'm not ready for it. I'm still, even though my thoughts are faster and my speech is much better, I still can't do with lots of loud environments, etc., because it's kind of like my brain just goes, no, I'm going to turn you off, and I'm just unaware of my surroundings if it's too much going on. Plus, my speech goes, and I will not be able to speak or find words or anything. Hopefully, in the next couple of years, I have recovered enough to go back, because, to be honest, it's pretty boring not being at work. It's strange that obviously I'm walking, but my right arm, my left arm and hand are not really functional still. But I do not remember myself having a functional arm, which is probably good. It's my brain kind of just accepting this is it. However, there is improvement every day. I don't feel as flat as before. Before, I felt like I was just being, and it was really, really weird. Obviously, emotionally, I struggle to answer that question because I honestly, I don't know. But I am positive, and I know I will recover, and I have accepted it will take years. But may that be 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, but it's just what it needs to be. It's a long journey.
Ash has had strong support from friends and family.
Everyone's been very supportive and helpful. I am quite independent and often kind of stubborn and kind of refuse help because I want to be able to challenge myself. And it's like, I can do this. But obviously, every time I do ask friends and family for support, they are there straight away, even the children. So it's really good. I obviously aim to get my hand and arm as functional as possible. I understand that it's never going to be 100%, but if I can get 80% back, then I'll be happy. So that's kind of my long-term goal, because this is not going to happen overnight. I would also like my train of thoughts to be faster and being able to think. Like sometimes I feel like I'm actually stupid, because some days my brain is just not working with me and I feel really slow. My thoughts are really slow. That's another thing that I want to work on. But otherwise, I'm just going to take, you know, live life day by day and enjoy it, because, you know, I was given a second chance of life and I really, really want to use that.
Ash believes stroke survivors should be patient and should persevere.
To a fellow stroke survivor, I would say your recovery is not going to happen overnight. You just need to be positive. Yes, it is hard. It will be hard. And you will have lots of obstacles. But you can do this. Don't be good to yourself. Be hard on yourself. Because the harder you work, the quicker you recover. With regards to family members, be there for them, especially, I think, in case of someone who has issues with their emotions. People with stroke that have suffered from strokes will have lots of anger displaying them. They may also be unempathetic and really cruel and horrible, but we are not trying to be. We're actually not aware of us being like that. So don't take it personally. Just be there for the people. Obviously, don't take over. Let them do it as well. Let them do as much as they can. But if they ask you for help, be there for them.
Ash suffered a major stroke, which not only affected her physically, but also had a lasting effect on her emotional health too. But she continues to work at her recovery every day and is planning on soon returning to work. Thank you very much for listening to Stroke Stories. Please do share the episodes with anybody you think it might help. And please do rate and comment on the episodes that you like to help us spread the word. And if you are or you know of a stroke survivor and there's a story you can share, please contact us via Twitter or Instagram. Our DMs are always open. The Stroke Stories podcast was produced by Aidan Judd. I'm Mark Goodyear. Thank you for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.